You'll turn in your Bibles to the book of Hebrews and chapter 11. This evening, just looking at verses 11 and 12, but we'll begin a reading at verse 8. Hebrews chapter 11 and beginning at verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Let's pray. Father, we return this evening to again worship you and to give thanks to you for your wonderful work of grace in our lives. We thank you for your word and for the opportunity that we have again to read and to think, to give some sustained thought to your word, praying that you would, through your word, speak to your church tonight. We pray that you would work your sovereign gift of faith within us, that we too, like Sarah, would consider you faithful as you have made promises to us. And we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Even Sarah herself, not just Abraham, but even Sarah believed God and saw God do something astounding. Sarah is only mentioned three times in the New Testament by name. Romans chapter 9, which we read in our morning service, God's sovereignty in granting children according to the promise, not according to physical descent. We know that Abraham had another son through Hagar, but it's only the son through Sarah who is the son of promise, and through that child, God would bless all of the nations. Sarah is then mentioned here in Hebrews 11. Sarah's faith is commended. And then in the book of 1 Peter, chapter 3, Sarah's obedience is commended. 1 Peter 3, verses 5 and 6, "For in this way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. They submitted themselves to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her Lord. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear." Her faith is commended. Her obedience is commended. Sarah's life is recorded in the Old Testament in the book of Genesis. I think there's only one other reference to Sarah in the Old Testament in the book of Isaiah. But her story is told in the book of Genesis, chapter 11. She is called Sarai, and she is introduced as Abram's wife. And it's noted that she was barren. Evidently, they discovered early on in their marriage that Sarah was not going to be able to have children. Genesis 12, Abram took Sarai and moved to the land of Canaan. And then we have the first of two stories of Abraham lying about her and saying, "Well, this is my sister." Chapter 16, there's this story of the bizarre attempt on the part of Sarah to have a child through Hagar. Genesis 16, just reading the first couple verses here. Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children, but she had an Egyptian slave named Hagar. So she said to Abram, "The Lord has kept me from having children. Go sleep with my slave. Perhaps I can build a family through her." And Abram agreed to what Sarai said. So after Abram had been living in Canaan 10 years, Sarai, his wife, took her Egyptian slave Hagar and gave her to her husband and to be his wife. He slept with Hagar, and she conceived. Chapter 17, her name is changed from Sarai to Sarah. The promise is given to Abraham that, no, it's not Hagar, it's not just a child of you, but it's a child of Abram and even Sarah. And so in chapter 17, her name is changed. The promise is given, specifically mentioning Sarah. Chapter 17, beginning at verse 15, God also said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you are no longer to call her Sarai. Her name will be Sarah. I will bless her and will surely give you a son by her. I will bless her so that she will be the mother of nations. Kings of people will come from her." Abraham fell face down. He laughed and said to himself, "Will a son be born to a man 100 years old? Will Sarah bear a child at the age of 90? Genesis 18, the promise is repeated, but this time so that Sarah herself can hear the words of the promise, not just through Abraham, but she hears them from the Lord, and she immediately believes this promise. No. What does she do? I'm just seeing if you're awake here. Okay. She laughs, and she gets caught laughing. You know, "Why did you laugh?" And she lied about it. She said, "I didn't laugh." And the Lord said, "Yes, you did." And the Lord said, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord?" Chapter 20, there's a second story about Abraham lying about his sister. And then chapter 21, Sarah gives birth to the child. The Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, "God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me." And she added, "Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age." Throughout Genesis, Sarah appears as a very real human being. In some ways, not at all what I would expect if you had only read what was in the New Testament about Sarah's faith and Sarah's obedience, and then you go back and you read the account in Genesis. Her life is kind of messy. Abraham's is kind of messy, both of them. Their faith and obedience, even though we look at them as examples of faith and obedience, it seems kind of weak at times. Seems kind of familiar, something like we experience as we go through the Christian life. Both she and Abraham are very real people struggling with their relationships to each other and with their faith. And yet Sarah is commended in Hebrews 11 as an example of faith. "By faith even Sarah," this is verse 11, "who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. There's a statement about what happened. She was enabled to bear children. She received the ability, the power to conceive. Even Sarah was able to have children. A serious problem is mentioned. She was past childbearing age. She was beyond the proper time of life for having children. An explanation then is given as to how this happened. It was by faith. And then the result is recorded in verse 12. And so from this one man, that is through Abraham and even Sarah, so through this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Just a couple of lessons on faith as we look at Sarah's example. The purpose of Hebrews 11, remember, is to teach that it's by faith that we persevere to the end. It's by faith that we will endure and press on and run the race of the Christian life. It's by faith. And Sarah's contribution to this list of illustrations that we have in Hebrews 11 is that even Sarah believed, with all that was against her, with all of the difficulties that she faced, even Sarah, by faith, was able to experience the good things that God had for her and for us. Number one, faith works in the midst of human inabilities. Faith is something that works in the midst of human inabilities. Sarah was barren. She's now past childbearing age, none of which was her fault. It's not because of sin. It's not because of unbelief that she couldn't have children. It was not her fault, but it is a fact. She was unable to have children. There was a limit to what Sarah could do. She gave herself to her husband, but that's all she could do. She was unable to have children. There's limits to what we can do. There's all kinds of things that limit us from doing the things that we'd like to do or causing us to think I can't do the things that God is calling me to do. It's not our fault, but it's a fact. Age, can't do what I used to do. Sex, race, parents, physical, mental abilities, talents, musical, artistic, mathematical. There's abilities and inabilities, and there are things that we all struggle with. I think of Moses, who complained of his inability to speak publicly and persuasively. You know, I just can't do it, Moses says. Timothy, somewhat timid and prone to stomach ailments. He seems to be a man that worried a lot, was concerned. Paul himself hinted that he was a rather ugly man and people were embarrassed to be associated with him. He's not a celebrity pastor with a $1 million smile. You know, this is the Apostle Paul, whose appearance is contemptible. You know, people just made fun of his appearance, said he looks weak. You know, there's nothing to demand confidence. It's not somebody that we would normally want to follow as a pastor. But is God limited by what limits us? Let's not discount God's promises or some vision or burden that God lays upon our hearts to do something. Let's not discount what God can do simply because we feel unable to do that. The kingdom of God does not advance on the basis of human abilities. It's not up to us. A second lesson, faith works in messy people. Sarah and Abraham had the same father. Let's just stop there for a moment. They were married. They had the same father. That's messy. They had different mothers, but they had the same father. Sarah was willing to share Abraham with Hagar one night. She laughed at God's promise. She lied about laughing. She became jealous and harsh later when Hagar gave birth to a son. She put up with a lot in putting up with Abraham. Abraham doesn't always appear as a strong, loving husband in the account that we have in Genesis. They're messy people. How messy are you? How messy is your life? You can think about the way you were brought up or your home situation. Perhaps you were abused or neglected. There may be conflict in your family today. Broken relationships, shameful things from your past, personality quirks, OCD, extroverted, introverted, talk too much, you have trouble talking to people, besetting sins, a proneness to fall into particular sins, or you particular bad habit, or you face certain temptations that you stumble into. You've laughed at God's promises, doubted his ability, doubted his faithfulness. God has delivered me in the past, but I don't know about this problem. Yet God is pleased to work with messy people and to work the gift of faith in them. The kingdom of God does not advance through perfect people. It is advancing through Abraham and Sarah and people just like them who have messed up lives. Thirdly, faith works in impossible situations. Sarah was barren ever since she said, "I do," to Abraham. She could not have children, and now she's past the time of bearing children. It was impossible for her to give birth at this point in her life, and no wonder she laughed. I mean, who would have thought, you know, this isn't going to happen? It would take a miracle. It's not going to happen. It can't be done. Likely story. If it sounds too good to be true, it's too good to be true. Have you ever thought that way about God's promises? His promises to save you, to save your children, to keep you, to change you, to use you in some ministry. Have you ever doubted that? Have you ever thought that's impossible? It would take a miracle for God to do that. I believe that God can do miracles. How many times have you heard that? I believe God can do miracles, but it would take a real miracle if he were to change me or to change this situation. Have you ever said it would take a miracle to see your marriage restored, to have a loved one converted, to have some prodigal child return to the faith and to return to the church, or for some physical healing, or for the grace and patience to press on when that healing doesn't come, to hire the needed teachers for Charleston Christian School and to pay them a decent wage? That would take a miracle. William Barclay has a good comment on Sarah's example here, and here are his words. He says, "So many magnificent visions and dreams and plans are knocked on the head with the verdict, it can't be done. People spend the greater part of their lives putting limitations on the power of God. Faith is the ability to lay hold on that strength which is made perfect in our weakness." that grace which is sufficient for all things, in such a way that the things which are humanly impossible become divinely possible. With God, all things are possible, and therefore the word impossible is a word which should have no place in the vocabulary of the Christian and the Christian church. If all things are possible with God, then that word impossible has no place in our vocabulary. Faith works in impossible situations. What is it now about Sarah's faith that enabled her to experience God's power? How is it that I should expect my faith to work? Verse 11, by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. She considered. She thought about it. She engaged her brain and began to think about this. She began to turn it over and over in her mind. She considered it. She looked at the problem honestly, and then she considered the promise. She just didn't ignore the problem. I mean, that's what caused her to laugh, but she's honestly addressing the problem. But at the same time, she's looking at this promise that comes from God. And she's turning all of this over in her mind. She doesn't just dismiss it. She considered. She thought about it. She stopped laughing at some point and began to ask, can this really happen? Can this be true? Can God actually do this? Martin Lloyd-Jones said, many, if not most, of our problems in the Christian life come because we don't stop and think. We get carried along by our emotions, by our fears, our anxieties, or our past experience of failure or something, but we don't stop ourselves and think. She considered. Secondly, she considered him. She began to look less at the problem and began to look more at God. And perhaps it was that word of rebuke when she laughed. And God said, why did you laugh? And then she lies about it. And then that very specific word, is anything too hard for the Lord? Could it be that right there and then, that word created the faith in her heart? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And for her to hear that, is anything too hard for God? I mean, who are we talking about? This is God Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth. Is anything too hard? She considered him. And then thirdly, she considered him faithful. She must have thought God is true. God doesn't lie. He can be trusted. He's proved himself in the past. She considered him faithful. A mighty fortress is my God. A bulwark never failing. A very present help in time of need. In this my strong tower for safety I hide, the Lord is my power, the Lord will provide for me. All I have needed, thy hand will provide. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. She considered him faithful. When faced with a challenge, or a difficulty, or a threat, or some vision that you have as to what God can do, but you have doubts, you feel like laughing or dismissing it as it would take a miracle, stop and think. Consider. Stop and think more of who God is. Stop and think that he who promised is faithful. Let's pray.